black guy I saw in the news conference, ain't you?
Yeah, that's me.
This is car 15. I'm gonna need backup. I've got a stolen vehicle here.
But this is my car.
Suspects are getting belligerent.
What?
Officer down.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Oh, And we are back with another Unholy Mofos episode. I'm your host, Scott, alongside with this fuckhead,
Jake the Snake.
And we're doing a TV show this time around. We're going to be talking about the CW's Supernatural.
Mm-hmm. And yes, Scott, sound is a lot more clearer, in case you listeners were wondering.
Well, you buy a device that's almost $500, you get clear fucking audio.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted that clear up for the listeners. And I'm going to try and sound as enthusiastic as I can. I don't know, very late night for me last night, and woke up so groggily last night, but I'm going to try to get myself a little bit more awake.
Yeah, we have to record on a Tuesday, because yesterday I was busy out fucking waiting for this thing.
Yeah, I got some caffeine in me, so hopefully that'll kick in really soon. Woo, I'm pumped. Let's do this.
You fucking bastard.
From the entire Channel 4 news team, I'm Veronica Corningstone.
And I'm Ron Burgundy. Go fuck yourself, San Diego.
All right, so got some news stories for you, and they're all involving some horror icons, it seems. A bunch of them returning. Well, one of these things is about the next Chucky movie. Guess there was like a set of tweets between Don Mancini, director of most of the movies, and Jennifer Tilly about shooting Part 7 in Cape Town. So this is telling us that maybe something's coming up really soon.
Soonish.
Yeah. Well, it's been soonish for a while, so yeah, it's gotta be starting really soon, and I hope so. That last one was pretty sweet. Definitely made up for Seed.
I don't know, I kind of like Seed.
Yeah.
The kills, mostly.
Yeah, the kills are alright, but it just really stood out from all the rest of the movies.
Yeah.
I guess we can save that for whenever we do that retrospective. Whenever that may be.
When they stop making fucking movies for the series.
Oh, come on, we already done a Friday the 13th and Halloween one, and, well, I don't know, maybe either. New ones are coming, maybe not.
Maybe not.
But speaking of Halloween, well, now that the plans for Halloween Returns have gone down to shitter, with all the dimension losing the rights shit going down, what's the next place Michael Myers can go to? The TV screen, I guess. According to this iHorror article, planning a limited TV series event, sort of like Guillermo del Toro's The Strain, 3-5 season commitment. That sounds cool, but where could they take a Halloween TV series, even if it is limited?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, well, like this article says, TV horror is pretty hot now. And all the other good ones are getting TV adaptations. I guess we'll see. And another one. Zombieland sequel. Possibly still in development. And yeah, not much else to say, but it's still in development.
They're not going to do it unless they get it right.
Yeah. It's been, 7 years since the last movie?
Something like that.
Yeah. I guess we'll see where that goes as well. Not much. All I can say about this one is, Little Rock will be legal in this movie.
The only thing I could possibly think of them doing a sequel this far away from the original is it's got to be some odd years later.
Yeah, of course. You know, going back to the Halloween story for really quick, something I was just realizing. Unless the Friday the 13th and Halloween sequels get made, like, in the next few years, we will have gone almost a decade without a Friday the 13th or Halloween movie. You realize that?
Yeah.
Yeah. According to research, I guess almost a decade is how long we went without a Friday the 13th sequel, right in between Jason Goes to Hell and Jason X. And long as we've gone without a Halloween sequel is in between Halloween 5 and Halloween 6. Unless something happens really soon, we may go a decade without them. Be strange, a decade without Halloween and Friday the 13th. And I guess Nightmare on Elm Street 2, we won't count that remake. Yeah, let's just pretend that never happened.
You can pretend all you want, it did happen.
God damn it. That wasn't Freddy Krueger. It was some imposter.
It was the dream rapist.
Yeah. And well, lastly, another horror icon getting the sequel. This time, Hellraiser.
Boo.
Yeah. All I can say about this is, you know, they're just turning out really quick, so it'd probably be rushed. Cool thing about it is they're getting Heather Langenkamp, Nancy, from the Nightmare on Elm Street movies to be in it, so I guess that's cool. But
I haven't seen her lately, but I'm sure she ain't looking too hot.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's definitely not as good looking as she was in the original movie, but yeah, she's alright. But for the second movie in a row, no Doug Bradley as Pinhead. So it's like, why even bother?
If you don't have fucking Doug Bradley, don't keep making him.
Yeah. He didn't want to be in the last movie because the script sucked. And if that didn't stop him from the other sequels, that tells you a lot.
Yeah, he knows good film.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it. All for news stories, so.
This sucks. Change it.
What have you been watching?
I have not been watching jack shit. I probably watched our shows for the episode here.
Yeah.
And other than that, I've just been hammering out some Family Guy, seeing as they put out a new season on Netflix.
Well, me, I only watched one thing, and one thing only. I went to see that new movie, The Boy, with the weird-looking doll. I will say this. If you're thinking it's just going to be an average, possessed doll movie, you are wrong. I'm not going to say much else, but you will be pleasantly surprised.
And was it actually good?
I ain't saying anything.
I'm not going to go see it, because I've heard terrible things about it.
Yeah, wasn't too bad. Much better than I expected it to be. But yeah, I got that. That's really all I've been watching this week. Hey, the sun came out this week. It actually got nice, so I went outside.
You're damn right you did.
Yep, so, very brief opening.
So, what do you want from us?
Yep. Let's take our first music break, and then we'll discuss the first two episodes of Supernatural.
Sound!
we are back. We are starting this all off with the pilot for Supernatural, aired September 13th, 2005. Good lord, what a long ass time ago that was.
11 years.
Yep. The show overall gets an 8.6 out of 10 on IMDb, and this particular episode gets an 8.8. Yeah. Well, you know, it's not to take away from the show at all, but people are very generous to TV shows on IMDb.
Yeah, they usually want TV shows to last longer, so they give them good ratings.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, not to take anything away from the show. Starring, well, the usual gang, we've got Jared Padalecki as Sam Winchester and Jensen Ackles as Dean Winchester. And appearance by Jeffrey Dean Morgan as their father, John. And this particular episode has Adrienne Palicki. She's well known for being in the Friday the 13th remake, I believe. If I could... Okay, guess not. I guess I'm confusing her from somebody else. Never mind.
Dumbass alert. Dumbass alert.
Who was that chick in Friday the 13th? Well, that ruins a joke I planned for the show because in the remake, whoever that chick's name was a Padalecki's sister, and this one she would be playing his fiance. Like, ew, you make it out with your sister, but that ruins it. Amanda Rigetti. God damn it, that was her name.
You can't fucking think that was her. You gotta look at the mole, man.
You think I look at moles?
Yeah, I do. Because you're a sick freak like that.
Yeah, I guess you can see how I'd confuse those names. Very Italiano names. Italiano. Alright. Enough of that bullshit. So, we start up in the past. Dean as a little kid and Sam as a baby. Happy family. Mom and daddy coming to check in on Sam. Now, Mom hears some noises coming from Sam's monitor. Goes to check on him. Looks like Dad's looking over him, so she decides to go downstairs. But Dad's downstairs watching television. Who's watching Sam? So she runs back upstairs, and Dad hears screaming coming from upstairs. So he goes up to check, and nothing's there. So looking over Sam, and then some blood starts dripping down. Looks up at the ceiling. There's Mommy right on the ceiling. And then just burst into flames. So Dad gets Sam and Dean out as the house explodes. Title screen comes on. Supernatural officially begins. Present day, Sam's all grown up. He's a student at Stanford. He's apparently got a very good life going. Got a good looking fiance. Got a free ride to college, an interview. Yeah, things are looking up for Sam. Well, that night, he hears an intruder in his house. So, goes around searching for this intruder. Attacks him, and turns out to be Dean, his older brother. Dean's telling him, he has to tell him something to kick the fiance out, but he says, whatever you have to say, you can say in front of her. Well, Dad's gone on a hunting trip and hasn't come back for a few days. Which is more than a few days than he's ever been on. So Dean has to tuck Sam to come along with him. Sam's talking about how he's wearing off hunting. But Dean tells him about the case Dad was working on, Tulane Blacktop case. People been disappearing. He shows him this, voicemail they got from Dad, and here's an EVP, somebody saying, I can never go home. So Sam finally agrees to go along, but only on the condition that he'll be back on Monday in time for the interview. Oh, we cut you, wherever this case is at. This guy's on the cell phone with his girlfriend, And after he gets done, he sees this woman along the side of the road, so he picks her up, and this woman, she's getting extremely frisky with him. And she's like, will you take me home? He's like, yeah, all right, baby.
Hell fucking yeah.
I'd take her home. Well, he does take her to home with a little run-down type home. Then he looks over, and she's nowhere to be seen. Now he freaks out, starts driving away, and ends up on a bridge, and the woman appears in the back seat, and there's a struggle, and blood splatter all across these windows. It's kind of strange, because, you know, when they go to investigate this the next day, they say no trace has been found at all. So what's the point of the blood splatter, then?
Maybe to know that he's really dead.
I guess. Well, Sam and Dean, they arrive, and well, we find out Dean's still using a bunch of these credit card scams. And Dean's looking through his music, and he's like, well, you need to update your taste in music. But Sam is wrong, because his music selection is Metallica, Motorhead, AC/DC. So Dean tells him, hey, driver chooses the music, passenger shuts his hole. And of course, they don't even play some any of those artists.
What was the song that they played, do you know?
I don't know. I do see on the IMD page that Eagles of Death Metal are on here. I know Eagles of Death Metal. Maybe that's who it was. Hmm. So they arrive at the scene of the crime, pretending to be marshals. Let's see. Was it this episode or is it next?
I think it was this one.
Yeah, I was just trying to remember what names they choose again. Name it, I wish I wrote that down.
They've got so many goddamn names throughout the series, I can't remember them all.
Yeah, but they choose some, like, very obvious names that, like...
They're like James Hetfield and shit like that.
Yeah. They introduce themselves as marshals. They're like, well, you look awfully young to be marshals. They're like, oh, why, thank you. And then they learn about the guy's girlfriend, Amy. So they go to ask her about... And, well, Amy's friend tells them about this legend of this hitchhiking ghost. And that's where a bunch of all these disappearances have been coming from. So they decide to research this and... Well, Dean's suspecting it could be murder, but Sam, he's a little smarter than that, and he looks up suicide on bridge, and he finds out a case of a woman called Constance Welch, who drowned her kids and then killed herself. So, they go to investigate this bridge, and... They have a little bit of an argument about what Sam wants. Sam's really insistent on doing just this one case and then moving on with being a regular dude. And just even pisses Dean off by saying, whatever, killed Mom. Well, she's not coming back. And they almost can't fight this, but suddenly Dean's car turns on. Dean's got the keys. So,
who's driving the car? He pulls the keys out.
The car's chasing after them. They jump off. Sam, he's barely hanging on the bridge. And Dean comes up, all covered in mud.
Yeah, he actually fucking jumped.
So they go find a hotel room and, well, the name... Dean gives a guy at the front desk. Guy recognizes it, so they realize Dad's been there. They find Dad's room, and there's a bunch of shit all over the room. Dean goes to take a shower, and before that, Sam starts to say, look, about that stuff I said about Mom last night. Dean's like, no chick flick moments, please. Dean gets done with the shower. Go... to get something to eat, but he sees the cops talking with the desk clerk. And so he calls Sam, tell him to get the hell out. So he's arrested. And he keeps telling this sheriff that his name's Ted Nugent. Well, the guy brings up his dad's journal, and there's something in it saying, Dean, 35111.
35-111 or something.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was a negative sign or a dash.
Oh, we'll find out next episode.
Yep. So, Sam, he decides to investigate a bit more, goes to talk to Constance's husband. He's still a little distraught over the case. But before he leaves, Sam asks him about the weeping woman in white cases. Something these all have in common is that the husband was being very unfaithful. So we realize from this that this woman is going around killing unfaithful men. Like the guy we saw at the beginning. At the police station, they get a call about a disturbance call, got somebody shooting off, so they leave Dean behind, handcuffed, but he finds a paperclip in Dad's journal, and Pick locks his way out. And it was Sam who made that phone call just to distract the police.
You know it's illegal to fucking call in a fake robbery.
But on the phone, while they're on the phone, Sam runs into Constance's ghost, and she ends up in the back seat, telling him to take her back to her house. He's like, no, but as she's insistent on it, she makes the car drive itself.
That crazy bitch.
Yep. So they get to the house, and she repeats, I can't go home. Sam realizes she's afraid to go into her house. She's about to kill him, but he's saying, I'm not unfaithful. And she's like, you will be. And she's trying to kill him, but Dean shows up, shoots at the ghost.
He has to shoot that bitch a shitload of times, too.
Six times! Six times, I tell you! And Sam, he take control of the car and just drives right into the house. So he's taking her home. And she mad about it. She's about to kill both of them, but the ghosts of her children show up. This is why she's been afraid to go into her house. And for good reason, too, because these children ghosts grab her and then drag her into the ground. I guess dragging her to hell. And so, case is done, and now Dean finds out that Blackwater Ridge is where Dad's going, but he's true to his word, taking Sam home just in time for his interview. Sam, gets into the house, just resting up for a bit, but then blood starts dripping on his face. Looks up, there's Jess, right on the ceiling, just like his mom, years ago. And again, the house bursts into flames.
The sorority.
Yeah. And so, while firefighters are putting the house out, Sam, he's getting himself pumped. He's like, we've got business to do. So, Sam's in it for good now. And that's that first episode.
Yes.
So, what do you think of this particular episode?
I think that, you know, I mean, I've heard about these stories being real, you know, these wandering women or whatever they're called, you know, shit like that, you know, having do real cases like this, you know, it just adds that creepy factor to it, you know, that this shit could actually possibly happen. You know, I enjoy that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's a great start to this series, and, you know, I'm going to go a high for this one.
You're using the All My Heroes rating again.
God damn it, I got to stop listening to their show. I'm trying to fucking catch up, but I can't.
God damn it.
God damn it. We're going to get right. slammed with I'm not copy.
I'm not listening to their show anymore. Fuck that.
All right.
I'm going to go pretty good.
All right. There you go. Okay. Yeah. Well, for first episode, yeah, it's definitely pretty good. We get to learn a little bit about these characters, and I just gotta say, Jared Padalecki and Jensen Ackles, very good chemistry between these guys. I actually believe these guys are brothers. The case itself, yeah, we all know about the vanishing woman, hitchhiker story, and just it just adds a little bit to it, adds a bit of a why to it, which is pretty good. So. I guess I'm going to go with a pretty good rating as well.
All right.
Okay. So
you got the info for the next one?
Yes, I do. Right here. Episode 2, Wendigo.
Wendigo.
Wendigo. Tomato, tomato. Aired September 20th, 2005. Got, of course, the usual gang. This particular episode, well, the only name I recognize is that guy from Glee who died a few years ago.
Gay, you know someone from Glee.
Well, I only know he was from Glee because, you know, when he died, they made a huge deal out of it.
I don't know who the fuck you're talking about.
I pay attention to the news.
Well, that is where you and I differ.
No particular news stories, anyway. But, yeah, whatever. Ready to go when you are.
Alright, well, my shit isn't, you know, exactly like Jake's was. I didn't get the dialogue, because, you know, that's the way we differ from all my heroes, I guess. You know, I never wrote down the dialogue, but here we go. This episode starts out with a couple guys on a camping trip. In the background, we hear this, like, lionish growl. I guess you could consider that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these guys are playing video games on their fucking little Nintendo shits. And, you know, these guys, they start getting fucking picked off one by one. And, we see this last guy, Tommy, he's stuck in his tent. And, this monster ends up clawing its way in. And we cut to, Sam, he's at Jess's grave, saying, you know, his goodbyes, because, you know, he's so sad. But a hand comes up in a jump-scary way, and he fucking wakes up inside the Impala.
Very Carrie-like.
If you guys didn't know, the cars, 1967 Chevy Impala. You know, Jake didn't fucking give you any of the info about it. It's the most iconic car, man.
Sorry.
Well, they end up getting to Blackwater and get a lead from one of these forest rangers that one of the guys, Tommy, he had a sister. And they go to meet her and get some information from her. And, you know, they take a video from her. That Sam sees something on. And, well, they go to the bar and, they watch this video in slow motion and they see this creature can really fucking move. It goes through their screen in, like, 3 frames or something like that, and that's, like, you know, really fucking fast.
Phew!
So, they go to, interview a survivor from an attack a long time ago. And, you know, this old man, he tells him about the attack. He survived. And, you know, he shows Sam and Dean these fucking claw marks that are, like, in his neck. That look like grizzly bear claws. Something like that.
Mm.
Well, it's the next day, and we see the brother Tommy. He's still alive. And, you know, he watches... as one of his buddies gets fucking ripped apart.
Yeah, too bad we don't.
Get to see it.
Yeah.
Well, this is TV. You can't show all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, Walking Dead can show it.
Don't contradict me, bitch. Well, the sister is going to be going into the woods, so Sam and Dean end up joining along because they don't want anybody else to get hurt or injured or anything like that. And they end up stumbling upon Tommy's camp. You know, I really didn't get all these, you know, scenes because I kind of hope you have the clips for them or something.
I can't find Well, since I watched it mostly on Netflix.
I mean, you should be able to take it off Netflix, right?
I wish I knew how to.
Damn. Well, you can at least get the audio, just record it.
Yeah, it'll be crappy.
You son of a bitch. Well, there's some dialogue before they get to the camp about, you know, the girl. She realizes that Sam and Dean aren't rangers because, you know, they didn't pack for provisions. And, you know, shit like that. And it's like, what do you mean I did pack provisions? He's got fucking peanut M&Ms in his pocket. Alright. They get to the camp, and the group hears this cry for help, but, you know, nobody's there. So they end up running back to camp, and all their shit is gone.
Oh.
So somebody's either fucking with them, or this creature is really smart. Sam comes to the conclusion that this must be a Wendigo, and, you know, they settle in for the night. And they, you know, they put all these, you know, ancient Indian markings and shit like that around their camp so it can't get in and attack them. Yeah, the creature ends up getting Roy because, you know, he's a goddamn fool.
Yeah.
He ends up shooting at it. So the Wendigo ends up fucking snapping his neck and pulls him up into the trees.
Fucks this shit up.
Hey, you're gonna shoot at me, I'll fuck you up, bitch. Well, we learn, you know, about this Wendigo. It's, you know, a great hunter, you know. It used to be a man, but, you know, after many, many years of, you know, carnivorous eating.
Cannibalism. You
know, it becomes this inhuman creature that has, you know, super speed. You know, it's basically a superhuman. And, well, the hunt begins, so, they end up going to start searching for this thing, and, the Wendigo actually ends up capturing, Haley and Dean. So, Sam heads in the direction that the M&Ms are on the ground.
Better than breadcrumbs.
Well, they get to a mineshaft, and, they find Dean and Haley and Tommy. So, they, you know, they all start heading out, but, you know, Dean stays back so he can lure this Wendigo out with, the only way to kill this thing is by burning it up. So they find, like, a couple flare guns. Well, Sam, he ends up staying behind as well, and, you know, he misses when he tries to shoot this thing, and we get a good look at it, and this thing is fucking ugly.
Yeah. And it's not very good CGI, too.
Yeah. There was CGI, but, you know, there were practical effects as well.
Yeah.
And, Dean ends up coming up from behind this thing and fucking ends up shooting it. And, you know, I think this is what you talk about, that really bad CGI.
Yeah.
But, you know, still, they killed the monster.
Yeah, I know TV shows never really have good CGI, it seems.
And, well, the family, they all start leaving for the hospital, and the boys drive off. And we roll credits.
Yeah, interesting fact I just found out. The Wendigo, played by Roy Campsall, also played the tall man in Grave Encounters 2.
Hmm.
Yeah. Wonder what that guy looks like in real life.
He's got the fucking body for it.
Yeah, apparently he does. Well, again, another very good episode. Yeah, it'd be hard for me to find a episode I barely liked of this show. Another pretty good rating. just another really good, interesting story of a real-life case and adding their own spin to it. And again, more great dialogue from Jared and Jensen. That's really all I can say about this, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can tell right off the bat these guys are going to have good chemistry, just the way that they talk to each other.
Yeah.
You bitch, and, you know, they just keep going back and forth, you know, calling each other names and, you know, laughing at it and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's some funny shit right there. And, you know, I gotta say, you know, for this being, you know, episode 2 of the first season, they really had a good thing going for them. You know,
yeah.
Right off the bat. And, you know, I like different case every week, you know, you gotta find this monster, you gotta figure out what it is, hunt it down, kill it, you know, shit like that.
Yeah, this show really was the X-Files of its decade. And, well, it's still going, and X-Files has actually come back, so I guess X-Files has some competition.
Yeah, so I'm going to go pretty good as well. This is one of my favorite episodes.
Okay. Well, let's give ourselves a little break, and then we'll come back with episodes 3 and 4. And we are back. Now for episode 3, Dead in the Water, premiered September 27th, 2005. And, let's see. As far as cast, this chick, Amy Acker, she sounds so familiar. And she's been on Angel, a bunch of other TV shows. She was in Cabin in the Woods. She was Lynn in Cabin in the Woods. Who the fuck was Lynn in that movie? I don't know. I'll have to watch it again just to see. So, this episode takes place in Lake Manitowoc, Wisconsin. We see a family at breakfast. The girl, she's going for a little swim in the lake. And what a body on her. Well, while she's swimming in the lake, she gets the sense that something's watching her. While pausing, looking around, she is suddenly pulled under. And that's how this episode begins. Winchester brothers are at a diner. Dean's trying to hit on this hot waitress. Of course.
Oh boy, is she hot.
Yeah, we mentioned, but Dean's major ladies man. And of course, Sam is just like, all right, we need to do this business type.
What are you, gay? You can't look at women?
So Dean tells him about this case of this girl, Sophie Carlton, and she was apparently the third drowning in this town. So something's going on. So they go to visit the family. The names they give are Agent Ford and Agent Hamill. Ah, ah, ah. Star Wars. They start asking the younger brother, Will. He says he saw something, but couldn't quite make out what it was. Try asking the dad, but dad's a little distraught. So they go talk to the sheriff, and sheriff says that the dam is starting to fall apart. Will be apart in 6 months, I think that's what he said.
Yeah, something like 6 months.
Yeah. Well, the sheriff's daughter comes to visit Andrea, and of course she is a hottie, and Dean's fallen for her. I saw a very funny joke online. Funny meme for the show online. How these guys experience so many monsters and demons and ghosts, but they experience no ugly chicks at all. Of course, it's the CW. Everybody must be pretty.
Of course.
Yeah. And, well, not only do they meet his daughter, but the grandson as well, Lucas. And right off the bat, Lucas, he's a very quiet child, speaking nothing at all. Dean asks Andrea to lead them to a hotel, and she does, and it's only 2 blocks. She says he needs to work on his pickup lines, because he was just saying, oh, kids are great, aren't they? It sounds like, you hate kids. Like, no, I don't. Name 3 kids you like. He's just like,
I'm thinking.
So they start researching all these drowning cases going on. They find out Andrea's husband was one of these guys that drowned. And Lucas was the witness of this. And that's why he is the way he is. Dean goes to try and talk to him, trying to relate to him about losing a parent. After talking to him, Lucas comes up to him and gives him a drawing of a house. Oh, later that night, Will, he's going to make some dinner for his dad. The sink starts to fill up with a bunch of this water, so he tries to look for whatever is clogging this sink. But something grabs him and starts holding him under the water. And at first, I thought this was going to be some blob type shit where it just pulls him right into the drain. Did you get that kind of feeling as well?
I kind of thought something like that, but, you know, as the first girl she drowned, I was kind of expecting something like that.
Yeah. Well, yep, no blob shit. He's just held under the water until he's drowned to death. So, they can rule out a Loch Ness-type monster, and they're finding out that Mr. Carlton was Christopher's godfather, so obviously he's some scene has to do with Mr. Carlton. And they go talk to him, and of course he isn't giving them much. But Dean looks at the house, and then the drawing that Lucas gave him. Same damn house. So they go back to talk to Lucas, and Dean again telling him about how he relates, how whenever his mother died, how he was so distraught, wouldn't talk to anybody. And Sam's looking at him like, huh? You never told me any of this. So Lucas gives him another drawing of another house. This one of a house with a little boy and a bike. So they find the house and they talk to the old lady and there. Learn that the boy's name was Peter and he drowned back in the early 70s. And he's got some army men, which is like what Lucas has as well. Well, they decide to go back to Mr. Carlton, but Mr. Carlton's out on a boat. So they're trying to yell at him to get away, and something flips this boat over, and Mr. Carlton, he dead.
He fucking dead.
So they go back to the police station, and Angie and Lucas are there, and Lucas is freaking the hell out, grabbing onto Dean and crying. Well, those two leave, and the Sam and Dean talk to the sheriff, and he's getting pissed off at them. He finds out they're not who they really say they are. So he threatens them, saying he could throw them in jail or they can get the hell out. And like, after two sounds pretty good.
That's the one I'd pick.
So they're about out of town, but Dean, he's not convinced that this case is over just yet. So they decide to drive over to Andrea's house. Andrea, she's getting ready for a bath. She's sitting in there, and I'm really wishing this was on something like HBO. So we could see a little something. Well, something again starts pulling her under. And, I could have sworn I almost saw a little bit of butt. I even tried pausing the Netflix really, really quick. Of course I would.
Oh boy. Here we go, people. This is a proof of Jake's fucking perviness.
As if you needed any. But Sam and Dean, they arrive just in the nick of time and able to pull Andrea out. Oh, they're talking with her in the morning. She says she heard some voice, a little boy, saying, "Come play with me." Dean's doing a little bit of researching, and he finds a photo of a bunch of these Boy Scouts, and along with Peter and Mr. Carlton, there's her dad. So, obviously, their dad has something to do with it. Lucas, he gets in a weird trance and leads them to this one spot in the ground, so they do a little digging, and they find a buried bike. Something like Peter had. Sheriff finds them and starts threatening them again. And they get him to confess right in front of Andrea that him and Mr. Carlton bullied Peter and took their bullying a little too far once and accidentally drowned him. After all this argument, they look over and Lucas is right near the lake. So they freak out, start running towards him, but something pulls him under. Then we get a first glimpse of the Peter ghost. Just kind of your basic grayish looking ghost kid. And while Dean and Sam are diving to look for Lucas, the sheriff, whose actual name is Jake, cool name, he starts talking to Peter on the lake and he just walks right in and is pulled under. And he gone. And Dean comes up with Lucas, just barely alive. And so right before they leave, Andrea and Lucas make some sandwiches for the boys, just as a way to thank them. And Lucas can talk now. So since he can talk, Dean teaches them some words to live by. Zeppelin rules. And he gets a little quick peck from Andrea, too. I bet he liked that. And off they go for another case. Roll credits. All right. Speak.
All right. All I'm going to say is, you know, this isn't one of my favorites. You know, I don't... Usually when I watch the first season, I don't watch this one along with a couple other ones. I don't find this one to be as, you know, entertaining. I don't know. That's just my opinion. And, you know, I'm going to go just okay rating. I don't enjoy this one as much as I do other ones.
All right, well...
I mean, the story's pretty stupid. You know, we've had this story about a million times in other movies and stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of a basic story, but I don't know. I don't want to keep giving the same damn rating, but I give it another pretty good rating as well. It's kind of a good mystery we got here. Although looking back seems kind of predictable, but whatever. And again, just some more good dialogue between these two, but I guess that'll be criteria for every episode from here on out, so I guess I don't have to keep on saying that. That's that episode, so let me pull up the next one really quick.
I'm already on it.
Oh, look at
you. So how about we start doing this new thing where we do our own movies on IMDb, considering I got the shit now.
All right, fair enough. You do so.
All right, Phantom Traveler scores an 8.3 out of 10. Aired on October 4th of 2005.
Just a few days after my 20th birthday.
And I really don't know anybody from this fucking episode.
Yeah, ditto. Let's see, who's this chick? It's another chick that's done a bunch of TV shit as well. Amanda Walker chick, so.
Yeah. Alright, well, this episode starts out with a guy. He looks anxious. I put a question mark there. I don't know really what he kind of looked like. I know he was, like, ecstatic about not wanting to go.
Well, nervous. That's the word I'd use.
Well, he goes to the bathroom, and there's this fucking black mist that ends up, you know, just entering him, I guess. And, he ends up boarding the plane, and, you know, this chick, Amanda, she sees his eyes, and they're black.
The blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
Oh, boy, here we go. And, about 40 minutes in, he ends up getting up, and he fucking opens this fucking emergency door. And that ends up making this fucking plane crash. Nick. And we cut to Sam and Dean in their hotel room. And Dean, he gets a call about the crash, so the boys head out to meet this guy, Jerry.
Yeah, I guess you're going to say that.
Yeah, he was helped by Dean and their father like a while back with a poltergeist. Poltergeist, that's my favorite movie.
I was just going to say that.
And the guys, they listen to a recording, and there's EVP on the recording. Well, Dean, he goes to get some fake IDs done, and they go to meet a survivor from the crash, the guy who watched the door get opened.
Yeah, apparently it's really hard for these to open in mid-flight. Like,
yeah, they got about like 2 tons of fucking pressure on the door, so unless you're like a superhuman, then good luck.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, why am I hearing an echo?
I might have just turned my volume up a little too loud.
Okay.
I had to turn the volume up. You're way too low. Well, they end up going to meet the lady, or the wife of the one dude who opened the door. And, you know, she tells the boys that he was petrified of flying, and, you know, what a way to go out, you know. So, they end up going to get some suits, and they end up going to check out this wreckage, and they find something on the door and leave before they get caught. We see another man have this the smoke enter him. He was the pilot for the plane that crashed. He was a survivor. We cut to Sam and Dean, and we learned this substance was sulfur. So it must be a demon.
Something inside me that feels like blizzard and sulfur. Every time I watch these episodes and they bring up sulfur, all I can think of is Slipknot.
Well, then back to this this pilot dude. He, about 40 minutes in, he ends up nosediving this fucking plane. And he crashed in Nazareth. They make a joke about it, but I don't really get what that is supposed to mean. Do you?
Yeah, it's, I think Nazareth where Jesus was supposed to be born, I believe. So, it's ironic because demon possession ends up in Nazareth.
Well, Sam and Dean get the call and go to the scene, and they end up finding more fucking sulfur. So, you know, it's definitely a demon that they know of. And we learn this thing, it's going after all the survivors, because the EVP said no survivors.
No survivors! Crashing this plane with no survivors!
I don't think Bane was the one possessing people.
But yeah, kind of Final Destination-like right there.
So, they end up calling, like, all of the survivors and telling them not to board, pretty much, you know, by having them be, like, a telemarketer or some shit like that. So, they get it down to one person, Amanda, and, they end up trying to call her to tell her to not get on the plane because, you know, some shit with her ex-boyfriend or something. But, they fail, and, we learn that Deed's scared of flying. Especially now because these fucking crashes. So, boys, they end up boarding and take off. And, they end up, you know, searching around. They find nothing. And, the co-pilot, he ends up coming out of the bathroom. And, Dean says, Cristo. And we see that the co-pilot is this demon. Ooh.
Oh.
So, they go to Amanda and tell them they gotta bring the co-pilot back to them. And they do, or she does, and they end up taping his mouth shut and start exercising it. The demon ends up leaving the co-pilot and enters the vents, and it starts to bring this plane down until Sam can finish the exorcism and sends this demon back to hell. And they land back at that same airport, I guess.
Maybe.
And we pretty much end this episode with Sam and Dean trying to reach their dad, and we roll credits.
Yep.
So
again, kind of a pretty good story. I mean, like I said earlier, it really reminds me of Final Destination. You know, just survivors of a plane crash, and they weren't supposed to be survivors, so they have to be picked off. Very good episode, especially with the whole fear of flying thing. Because, you know, people do have a fear of flying. And it really plays on, especially with Dean. Poor guy. I love how when the demon's trying to take the plane down at the end of the episode and Sam finishing the exorcism, there's Dean in the corner just screaming.
He's screaming like a little bitch.
Okay, there's one criticism I do have of these first four episodes, and I guess I could say a bunch of this for the first half of season one. that so many of these have the same thing going on. Just Sam and Dean arguing about Dad. About how Sam thinks they should just look for Dad. Dean thinks they should just work on that case. It kind of got a little repetitive, but it thankfully went away really quick. Though, I don't really want to, like I said, I don't like, want to make it seem like I'm liking these that much, but I really am, kind of. I mean, this show was starting off extremely well, so another pretty good rating.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I believe, where they first start, you know, talking about demons in the show, and it just takes off from there. So, you know, I definitely enjoy this one a lot better than the last one, you know, just because the comedy aspects.
Yeah.
And, you know, the storyline is pretty cool, you know, how, you know, the biblical shit like that and whatnot, like demons possessing haunted flights and cars and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm gonna go with pretty good for this one.
Okay, then.
So, three pretty goods and one just okay for me.
Yeah, and, straight pretty good for me, too. I never quite like doing that, because, but I guess it just happens. But, anyway, well, I guess we got some feedback, so let's just take a break, reconvene, and then we'll come back to read that.
Life.
And welcome back. So, like I said, we got some feedback from good old Stan. He says, hey guys, Stan here. My bloody Valentine is Tits McGee. Gotta give it the best rating. Damn right, Stan. Great killer, great kills in the unrated and a cool setting. And I also always thought that one dude looks like Andy Dalton too. Yeah. Maybe it's Andy Dalton's dad. You never know. It's a shame we never got a sequel, but the remake is decent, so at least there's that. Yeah. Yeah, so Stan's pretty much echoing all our thoughts on that one.
Yeah, okay. Did you see the Facebook comment from Nudie?
I guess I did.
Episode.
What is it? Oh, yeah, he said he wanted
to. He wished he had been on the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, well, next time we do a commentary episode, question mark, We probably should put a thing out in case somebody wants to join in.
Yeah.
But of course, we probably would have to do it. Okay. Oh, sorry, things went a little quiet there. I thought you were dropping. Anyway.
Well, I thought you were, too.
It's just... You know, I just hear all that background noise in your end, and it just suddenly went quiet. I'm like, what's going on? Like, oh, never mind. Shoot, where was I? Oh, yeah, we'd have to do it some other day, too. I mean...
You'd have to do it on the weekend.
Yeah. Okay, Stan pretty much wraps it up by saying, I haven't ever seen Supernatural, so that's it for me this week. Catch you later. Stan, you gotta check it out. I think you'd like it, Stan.
It's more about the story, but, you know, it's got that aspect of there's always good-looking women on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's kind of a typical CW-type show with the pretty-looking people, but don't let that throw you off. It is an actually pretty good story.
So
there's another episode in the can, and shoot, did we even discuss what we could be doing next week during the break?
No, we didn't.
Well,
you dumbass.
Well, fuck.
You want to go back to some Kolchak?
Yeah, let's do that. Nudie, he's on vacation this week, so hopefully next week, and it'll have to be another Thursday show since that seems to be his days off. So, I'll try talking to him a little later in the week, and if we can't get him on, well, we'll try to think of a backup plan just in case.
Alright. I think I'll do episode 5.
Alright. And I'll do episode 6. I'll try to remember that because I never can remember.
Yeah, you fucking text me Sunday asking me what episodes you're doing.
Like, yeah.
I said to myself, are you fucking kidding me?
I had a very busy week.
Excuses.
All right. Oh, if you want to write us in, give us some Supernatural or Kolchak, unholymofos@gmail.com. Or individually, JakeTheSnake54 on Twitter.
I'm at unholymofo1.
And, yep. Another brief episode, but what can you do?
Well, I tried to get it to be longer, so we did 4 episodes, but...
Longer. I'm sorry.
Sometimes I just want to smack you.
I'm sorry.
Virtual smack!
I'm sorry, but at the same time, I'm not.
Virtual smack, bitch.
Okay, so until Kolchak. Peace out.
Later, fuckers. We'll be right back.
secrets and charity laced with a lie. Still we keep hoping to fix all the defects and strengthen these seminal ties. We go on together, for better or worse. Our history is too real to hate. Now and forever, we stay until morning and promise to fight for our fate. Opens the door. I've never stopped trying. I've never stopped feeling like family is much more than blood. Don't go on without me. The beast that I represent compliments each and every one. Till we screamed, they'll never ever take us alive.